forget everything but the grudges.
And if I've have Irish clients, it's really true.
Is it?
Oh, if they just let go of it,
it,
you know, they'd save so much money with me. If they just let go of it, it's, you know, it's enough already, and it wasn't even a big deal to start with.
Right. Oh, well.
But letting go. Different cultures do it different ways. Absolutely. Ready, guys?
We're good to go when you are.
We are on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host, at least for today, of the show. And I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in and connecting with us. I want to thank our friends over at MTP Software, the leader in CRM solutions for the sports and entertainment industry. And thank you, Frank Sincotta, and the whole team. I want to thank our crew over at Radio Entrepreneurs, Alex Cooper, our executive producer, who keeps the trains running, and Chris Gerald, who actually is the mechanic behind the trains. Gets it all going. Our next guest, second time around, Megan Taylor from Taylor HR Group LLC. Welcome, Megan.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Jeff.
Thanks. I know we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and you know, I'm a big fan of preventative medicine and good healthcare. This is a good time of year to talk about what I would consider to be how to make sure that you don't have to do crisis PR. And before we get into that, why don't we just give our listeners another sort of introduction to what you do?
Well, I'm an HR consultant. I'm also an attorney, and I help small companies set up HR policies, procedures, frameworks, and then help them stay compliant and also work with their employees to be an employer of choice to make sure they're providing as benefits and a culture that works for them. And then I also assist employers when or if the situation doesn't go well and they need to deal with a performance issue or the like.
Well, so you are a little bit of a preventive medicine, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Right. And is it hard educating entrepreneurs to the benefits of what you're trying to help them with?
I think it can be. They want to focus on running their business, and they don't necessarily want to put into place policies in advance. But I find that if they have something go in a way that it shouldn't, then they are more amenable because they see the value of what prevention can do. And so, for the right business owner, they want to focus on their widget, you know, running their business, and they know they're not an expert in this area. So for those clients in particular, it's an easier sell to get them to be more preventative. Doesn't always work that way, though.
I can't believe how many entrepreneurs are functioning without proper HR formulas to protect themselves. But, you know, and that's really, I see that daily from entrepreneurs. So I should be a good friend of yours, or you should be a good friend of mine, because I think you could be helping a lot of the companies I come across, because I don't want to dive into that area. I just want to make critiques. But Megan, we were going to talk today about data and documents in that protection area, correct?
Right. I think this is an area of exposure for any business of any size. And so it's something that people often don't think about until there's an issue. And again, this is something that people can really benefit from. Putting some thought into what their policies and procedures are and being secure. I mean, we all hear about large organizations that get hit with cyber attacks, unfortunately, fairly regularly now, but it can happen to a small company as well. And it doesn't have to be some nefarious power somewhere else. It can be a temp who has a temporary email address at your company, and he, for some reason, thinks it's a great idea to open a wedding invitation from someone he's never heard of before at his now temporary work email. And suddenly he gets the black box of death on the screen, and he's done some damage to the system. So those are the kinds of things that can happen
I think it's easier. I mean, I haven't done it in a long time because I've had my head bashed against the door by my friend Frank Sincotta too many times. But I remember years back getting a Hallmark card when I was in for surgery with and I thought it was, sent by an anonymous friend.
Sure.
And the next thing I know, not only was I taking medication for my surgery, but I had no laptop anymore and I had no database because I opened it up what I thought was an anonymous card. I don't open up anything that I don't know where it's from or who it is or what they're doing. I can't, even from friends, I just don't take a chance anymore.
Right. But employers often don't make that clear to their staff. And again, you think it's a harmless Hallmark card or a wedding invitation and you're not thinking, but people need to be regularly trained on these issues, and they have to have policies in place to make sure people understand what the risks are and what they and why they should really take caution.
Well, I'll start with the front end. I think the back end's even more important. So let's use Chris as an example to my left, my producer. He's always on the web. He's always searching the web because he's doing work for the radio show and for my consulting firm. So he could pick up a virus. The virus could pick up his email. He could send me an email from his name, Chris, with an attachment, Jeff, you know, or take a look at this. I could open it up and that could be the end of me.
Sure.
So that's the front end problem and how you prepare for that. And then the back end problem is if something does get picked up and it gets out on the web, how it could, if it had the wrong content, potentially dangerous to myself or to my firm or to Chris.
And it's not just the exposure to the business from an operational standpoint, but there is liability as well. If you have, if you're in a state where there is a requirement that you keep, for example, personally identifying information securely, like there is in Massachusetts, all businesses who have that kind of data need to have a WISP, which is a written information security plan that talks about how they keep their information encrypted and secure. If you have a breach, even one item, one document, you have, in some cases, obligations to report that to the Attorney General and to take certain steps to protect that person whose data is now, or information rather, is now out in the ether. So, you know, it's not just from an internal operational standpoint and potentially damages that you might suffer, but also compliance issues with privacy and other kinds of regulations that require you to keep this information secure.
You know, I'm going to leave attorneys off this category because I think they're a little bit better at this. But when you look at Massachusetts, a state that most people work for service providers, those service providers are getting confidential data all the time from clients, and they probably don't have a protection plan.
Right.
That would be my. I look at my category, consulting firms, and most consultants are really independent people working out of their homes on their laptops. I'm sure they don't have a security plan, and they're getting private documents from clients all the time.
Right. They should be using an encrypted mail provider. If you have any kind of personally identifying information or confidential or proprietary information, so there are lots of things that people can do to prevent that exposure of, as you say, a third-party vendor who suddenly has some super secret information about your company, and you want to make sure that that's not inadvertently even being released to people who shouldn't have it.
Right. Have you seen the extreme form of damage that can be done from this?
Well, I mean, there are fines and penalties that can be imposed by the Attorney General for data breaches. So,
put someone out of business.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you have experts in the cybersecurity insurance realm occasionally on your show, but that's another concern that people should be very concerned about what their commercial insurance package would provide in the event that they had a release of data and had some exposure damages wise.
Right. How did you get into all of this?
Well, I started out the first part of my career as a lawyer, and it took me way too long to figure out that I didn't really want to do that anymore. So I became in-house counsel and HR director at a very small software company. And as they grew, as you might imagine, all kinds of interesting things have happened. And so I've taken that skill set of being a boots on the ground HR director as also, and also an in-house legal counsel, and blended that into HR consulting for small companies.
Did you work for one of those cookie cutter mold medium to large size law firms?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But it still wasn't right for me.
Right. It's a different environment.
Right.
I've consulted to law firms, so I've had arm's length exposure to the different environment. But you know, the best HR people I've ever worked with were practicing lawyers also. They have a certain breadth and knowledge, I think, to the field and a discipline that a lot of HR doesn't have. And I'm not trying to throw HR under the bus. I'm a big HR fan myself. But I think the combination, you know, you think a lot of people think of, oh, I get an accounting degree with a law degree. But I think HR with law is a great discipline. And I don't see a lot of it. And that's really your background. Do you feel the same way?
Right. Well, having been a lawyer for a number of years before I dove into the HR world, I've seen a lot of very unusual things that can happen at larger companies and very small companies, and the exposures can be enormous. And I also have a fertile imagination, so I can go into a client now and say, well, this is going to be a problem for you. You have to take care of this matter, either based on something I've seen in the past or because I see the fact pattern that could expose the company to something that they don't want to face.
So some steps before you go that entrepreneurs should be thinking about in terms of giving themselves sort of a self-check audit?
A quick audit would include whether or not you have to comply with certain privacy or state regulations where you are, for example, in Massachusetts, having a WISP. Thinking about mobile devices, you know, you're giving your staff iPads, iPhones with access to your data. How are you securing that? Just generally, and then if you sack them or if they lose their iPhone, how is that protected? And then even just in your office, where is that data kept? Is it a paper file? Is it electronic? And I think taking some time to sort of think about those things in advance and organizing yourself will really serve the business well, and you will forestall, I think, a lot of problems.
Very helpful. And if someone really wants to go into depth, they might want to call you. And how would they find you?
They can find me at mtaylor@taylorhrgroup.com. And so the website is also taylorhrgroup.com. And my phone is 978-880-5091.
Megan, we love having you on the show. We hope we get you back again.
Well, I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
We have great content that we'd love to share with our listeners. Again, this is Jeffrey Davis. A pleasure. We've been speaking with Megan Taylor, Taylor HR Group. You might want to check her out. She's got a good story. And from what I know from people I know in the marketplace, she's very, very, very good at what she does. We're going to take a break. This is Radio Entrepreneurs.